What are the real risks and potential complications when using orthodontic mini screws for anchorage control? Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we'll be discussing an essential clinical topic: the risks and complications associated with orthodontic mini screws. From insertion site issues to stability loss and tissue reactions, understanding these factors is crucial for improving safety, success rates, and patient outcomes in skeletal anchorage therapy. Today, I want to take you through a paper that, despite its age, still shapes how we think about orthodontic mini screws. It's the 2007 review by Neil Kravitz and Boudicus Noto in the American Journal of Orthodontics and Dentofacial Orthopedics, a comprehensive summary of the risks and complications associated with miniscrew anchorage. This isn't an experimental study, but a systematic overview. It walks us through complications during insertion, under load, and at removal. What I find impressive is how clinically grounded it is. Every paragraph reflects practical chairside experience. During insertion, the main hazards are root trauma, slippage, and nerve injury. Radiographic planning, ideally with CBCT today, is essential. The authors remind us that interradicular placement demands precision, 5-8 millimeters from the alveolar crest in the upper jaw between the second premolar and first molar is safest. Nerve complications are rare but serious. The inferior alveolar nerve in the mandible and the greater palatine nerve in the maxilla are the key areas of caution. If you're in the retromolar pad, stay short, 8 millimeters or less. One of the more surprising sections is about subcutaneous emphysema, air trapped in the tissue because someone used an air water syringe near a pilot hole. The lesson is simple: no air syringes during screw placement. Once loaded, failures occur in about 10 to 30% of cases, and bone density is the critical determinant. D1 and D2 bone, dense cortical regions, offer the best stability, while D4 bone, typically in the posterior maxilla, is most prone to loosening. The authors also emphasize the role of soft tissue. Keratinized, attached gingiva is protective, movable alveolar mucosa is not. Soft tissue complications, aphthous ulcers, overgrowth, and peri-implantitis are mostly preventable with chlorhexidine rinses and protective caps. But peri-implant inflammation remains a major cause of failure, so patient hygiene and compliance are crucial. During removal, fractures are rare if the screw diameter is 1.6 mm or larger. After a few weeks, partial osseointegration can make removal a bit tougher, but usually without significant complications. Finally, the authors stress that miniscrews are approved for patients 12 years and older, though in growing individuals, we should stay away from the midpalatal suture. Smoking and metabolic bone disease are clear red flags. The overall message is timeless. Miniscrews are not a universal solution. They are a refined instrument that demands anatomical precision, surgical restraint, and patient education. If we follow those principles, they can be remarkably safe and reliable tools for modern orthodontics. Thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Martin Baxman. Let's bring science back to orthodontics.